Within the Christian context, when we think of gifts, we usually think about those many things that God gives to us. For instance, Jesus in John's Gospel speaks about the gifts of peace and love and joy. There are many gifts that Jesus gives throughout his ministry. Healing of many kinds, delivering people from demonic oppression and possession, teachings of many kinds, sermons that he gave on many occasions, food like the miracle of loaves and the fishes and the feeding of the 5,000, and himself in the forms of bread and wine in the Last Supper and what we call the sacrament of Holy Communion, and forgiveness on the cross, as we'll hear next Sunday. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. When Methodists talk about being called into ministry, we talk about having the gifts and graces for ministry, some of which are articulated throughout Paul's letters. There are the spiritual gifts as listed in Romans: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy. And there are gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gift of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Pentecostals like those, by the way, but we often don't know how to handle them or deal with them in the church. There are all kinds of gift ministries within the church. There's apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. All of these are types of ministry that pastors and lay people carry out in the life of the church. These are all gifts that we have received. And when we think about the gifts in the Bible, we usually think about those many gifts that we receive from God. Spiritual and physical, emotional and relational. And then there are the gifts that we give, that we bring, and that we return to God, like in our offering today. There are those gifts that we talk about when we join the church and pledge to support it through our time, talents, gifts, and service and witness. And none of these that are listed, by the way, are more important than any other. Giving money is important, but praying for, being present in, serving within, providing for by our talents, all very important to the life and ministry of the church, and are important ways that we give of ourselves and who we are to the life of the church. Those people who sing in the choir give tremendously to the life of the worshiping community that we have here at Lakewood, give tremendously of themselves, and they are fed in giving and blessed in giving. Rarely, however, do we ever see an account of gifts given to Jesus. I'm sure there are the three gifts of the Magi in Matthew's gospel: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gifts that would have come really in hand, by the way, when they went off to Egypt to escape the persecution of Herod the Great, and they were refugees in Egypt. The gold especially, but the rest of it too, could have been sold to provide them with what they needed to get through that time as refugees before going back to Palestine. But apart from these three gifts, when is Jesus given a gift? One's got to rack your brain and scratch your head and search the scripture to find instances of Jesus receiving gifts. One is the possibly where he asked for water at the well, but here the woman never actually gives him the water in that story. Another is on the cross as he's dying and he asks for something to drink. In John's gospel, he says, "I thirst." And all four gospels say they provided him sour wine or wine mixed with vinegar to drink. That was a gift. And then there's the gift of anointing that Mary offers today, that we read about in today's story in John's Gospel. But you find it in all four Gospels in one form or another, with details that vary from version to version, but they all say pretty much the same thing. And in John's Gospel, it's identified as Mary, the sister of Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So it makes perfect sense that she would want to give a gift to Jesus out of thanksgiving for the gift that he had given them, the life of their brother. And so she comes and she anoints his feet. His feet. The stinkiest, ickiest part of the body. Especially in the ancient world, when you walked around in sandals and didn't have shoes and socks, and you walked pretty much everywhere. Frankly, feet are kind of gross, but they're amazing appendages, with lots of bones and structures that work and function and keep us, mostly, upright. It's amazing. Ever watch someone go down a flight of stairs? It's a controlled fall, friends. Sometimes it's not so controlled, I'm afraid. Feet are really weird. And she takes about a pound of nard. Nard is a very expensive, very rare form of perfume used in anointing. And it comes from the Himalayan mountains in North India. So it comes from a long way away. It came through the spice trade to get to Palestine for Mary to purchase it. And Judas tells us that it'd be worth about 300 denarii, almost a year's income for a day laborer. Translated into modern money, you can ask Dr. Fombi about this, but translated into modern money, somewhere in the neighborhood between $40,000 and $50,000. In the ancient world's equivalent value has converted to today, about a year's income. And she takes it. And let's not fool ourselves. We kind of agree with Judas. What about this waste? This could have been sold and the money given to the poor. This could have been given away to give people food and clothing and shelter. Why would you waste it extravagantly in this way? But she does. She takes it and she anoints his feet with it, and it's so strong, and the fragrant odor is so amazing that it fills the house where they are, and everybody could smell it. There's no way this was happening in secret. Everybody knew it was happening. And it's even more scandalous than that, because then it says that she took her hair and she wiped the nard in and off in a very intimate act of service, right there in front of everybody else. Wow. What an extravagant gift this is. As I said, there are very few places in Scripture. There are a few, but there are very few places of Scripture where Jesus receives a gift. He gives constantly of himself and who he is and his nature. He teaches, he preaches, he heals, he delivers, he creates food out of nothing. He feeds through the beautiful gift of the sacrament. He gives of himself constantly. Innumerable gifts to us all. When do we see such an extravagant gift from us? Mary, the sister of Lazarus, in John's Gospel at least, gives that gift on our behalf. We stand and kneel in her sandals. to anoint Jesus here. And yes, some people are always going to say, you shouldn't have given that. You shouldn't have done that. How can you waste it on this? And Jesus' answer just kind of comes back and echoes in my head, and I can't get out of it. Leave her alone, he said. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. She's using it now just a few days ahead of the Passover, 6 days before the Passover. She's using it in advance, blessing him in advance of his burial, anointing him in advance of it with a perfume that would be used in the ritual of burial of a corpse. She gives to him this extravagant gift of love, a gift beyond actual measure, a gift of incredible generosity, a gift of incredible love for Jesus. And we are called to do the same. Jesus gives us so much. Jesus gives us grace and peace and love. Jesus gives us direction and healing and forgiveness. Jesus gives us nourishment and strength, both physical and spiritual. Jesus gives us his very self, his love, his grace, his presence. When we with faith come and eat and drink in a simple ritual and symbolic expression that can't possibly equal the majesty giving of God and Jesus, and yet somehow does. When we partake of the sacrament, we know the presence of God anew, the nourishing presence of God in our lives. God in Jesus has been extravagant with us. And the perfume odor, the sweet-smelling fragrance of God's offering for us in Jesus is only dimly answered by Mary's gift to Jesus. But it's the gift that we have to give. The extravagant gift that we have to give. I got a haircut this week. Thank God I was going to need either a haircut or a dog tag, but I got a haircut. I don't have much hair to wipe Jesus' feet with. But with love, we all can serve. We all can give. One place Jesus says, if you give a cup of water in my name, you've given it unto me. If you have cared for one of these little ones in my name, you have cared for me. If you care for the stranger in my name, you have cared for me. You have given to me. When we give to others, the poor and the needy, the lost and the wandering, the oppressed and the outcast, we are giving to Jesus. We have an extravagant gift of thanksgiving to give, to follow the example that Mary sets. And Jesus gives us the extravagant gift of the very life of Almighty God. Today, as we come to the table of the Lord, receive the extravagant gift of Almighty God anew and afresh in your life. Receive the extravagant gift that Jesus has for us, and give thanks and praise, and then join in giving of ourselves extravagantly to God in Jesus. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.